Have you ever felt you weren't supporting a group of students with writing? Maybe these students had IEPs, maybe they didn't. Maybe they were the students who turned in writing that was just all over the place, spelling mistakes, run-on sentences, no paragraphs, you know what I'm talking about. And you just didn't know how to support these students or even where to start. You are not alone. I've felt at a loss for how to support struggling writers every single year of my 13 years as a teacher. There are so many varying levels within one classroom, it can be hard to wrap your mind around how to support students who are struggling with writing and seem far behind all the other writers in your classroom. However, there are things we can do that all students can benefit from, both advanced writers and struggling writers, and I can't wait to share this episode with you today. Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. This episode is brought to you by my Grammar and Mechanics unit. I have been reading a ton because I resigned from teaching. I have a lot more time on my hands. And what do English teachers do when they have a lot more time on their hands? They read, read, read. And I have been reading about educational equity and reading all sorts of books about it and how to begin to make our schools more equitable. And what I've learned is pretty mind-blowing, and I plan to record more episodes about this. But what does this have to do with my Grammar and Mechanics unit? Well, I've always been really, just like lots of workshop teachers, posed to teaching dry concepts with worksheets and kill and drill and even direct instruction. I hate to say it, but in all my reading that I've been doing this past year, I'm learning more and more that the way to teach and reach all our students is with direct instruction, is with teaching students explicitly. And of all my units, the Grammar and Mechanics unit does that. There are 10 mini lessons in this unit. The first one is helping students form writing partnerships so they can get help with their writing from a partner. The second mini lesson is all about revision. The third one is about editing. The fourth mini lesson is all about complete sentences. And then there's one on purposeful fragments and just what fragments are in general. Commas, colons, semicolons, dashes, subject-verb agreement, active versus passive voice, verbals, and pronouns. So there are 11 mini lessons in this unit. And if you've ever purchased anything from me, you know that I'm all about making it engaging. There's mentor sentences from all sorts of wonderful literature. So you'll definitely want to go check this unit out. It is currently sitting on my website. If you go to amandarightnow.com and you click shop, it's there for you, or you can consider joining my membership and you'll access this unit along with all of the other units that I have available to members who are part of my program. So go check it out. Okay, let's get started here. According to Natalie Wexler, author of The Knowledge Gap and co-author of The Writing Revolution, students who struggle with writing, and all students for that matter, need explicit instruction at the sentence level. After reading Wexler's books, I couldn't agree more. Wexler also argues that we need to be providing students with much more knowledge about science, history, our world, current events, and social issues, and that we can teach writing through the lens of this information. So I recommend you teach the mini lessons in this episode that I'm going to talk about within the context of whatever you are having students read. Sentence level instruction can be done within what you're already doing in your classroom. All of the examples provided in the mini lessons I talk about today are from a book called The 57 Bus by Dashka Slater. This is an important book about a true event that occurred in Oakland in 2013. It's an important book because it challenges our students' assumptions about gender. It provides so much information about our juvenile justice system and exposes us to the enormous impact that media has on people and their beliefs about crimes, criminals, and current events in general. It is a very powerful book, and many of my students thanked me after exposing it to them and reading it with every one of my classes. It was adopted by my school. I went through with a colleague of mine the process to get it adopted at my school, and I'm very proud that we did that. And I highly recommend all teachers read it and then also adopt it in their schools as well. Now, let's get into the mini lessons. But first, there's an important note here. Natalie Wexler and Judith C. Hockman, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, authors of The Writing Revolution, which all of these ideas are inspired by that book. They say it's not necessary to teach formal definitions of grammar terms such as fragments, subjects, predicates, conjunctions, etc., especially if students really struggle with reading and writing. Complex grammatical terms can just confuse students even more. However, they do say that you can introduce these terms if you feel students are ready. Okay, now for the mini lessons. So the first mini lesson, the very first, and these should be done in order because they build off of each other. So the first one is teaching students about sentence fragments. Fragments are incomplete sentences. But for this mini lesson, you don't really need to explain that term yet. First, you start out by providing students with oral examples of fragments. And I actually, in this blog post, if you go to amandarightnow.com, click podcast, click this episode title, I have a slideshow for you, and you can go ahead and make a copy of it for yourself. And the slideshow includes examples from the 57 bus and activities for students to do. And you don't even have to read the 57 bus to take advantage of these activities. You could just read an article about what happened in 2013 when these events on the 57 bus occurred. There are lots of articles available online about this event. And then use these examples. Okay. So you provide examples of what fragments are, and you just do this orally. You don't even write it down. And then you ask students what could be added to make the sentence complete. So here are some of the examples. My friends seem. So that's a fragment, right? It's like, okay, what? And then the next one is I like. And then another one is good hugs. And another one is just the word purple. And so you're just going to say these things to students and then ask them, like, okay, what can we do to make this a complete sentence? And then after discussing kind of what's missing from the fragments, you provide oral examples of complete sentences. And these complete sentences are related to the fragments. And you ask students what they notice. How are the fragments and the complete sentences different from each other? So, for example, my friends seem to like me is a complete sentence. I give good hugs. So these, again, are sentences from the 57 bus. But you're going to ask them, like, what do you notice about the difference between these? And at this point, you might want to write them on a board so they can kind of really analyze them. And at the next level, begin giving students activities to complete that allow them to identify fragments and sentences. And the slideshow I provide give you activities to do this, an activity to do this, and just inspire you to create your own activities. But I do plan on creating more of these activities for teachers in my membership program. There's going to be a whole section for struggling writers for each of the units. And this is something I'm adding and rolling out this year because I just feel so strongly about this topic of educational equity and really supporting students who are struggling and who just don't have the tools that they need to be successful at writing. This is just really needed and I know it. So I'm going to do something about it with the materials that I create. So that's really exciting. So you give them activities and of course these should be related to what your students are currently studying, articles you're reading, things like that. Use sentences from whatever you're studying currently. You might also introduce the terms subject and predicate at this point. Teaching about fragments is an important building block for the next sentence level instruction you will be doing. And this mini lesson is super short and simple. It's just you modeling. And well, you're starting out with examples of fragments, examples of sentences, and then students are practicing identifying them. That's it. And I actually do want to mention another book that I'm reading called Focus, Elevating the Essentials to Radically Improve Student Learning by Mike Schmoker. So this book is just awesome because it really advocates for this system of teaching that works, that has been proven to work and to help schools, districts make huge progress and gains. And so I really recommend this book, but he talks about a framework for every lesson that every teacher should be following. And I plan to record another episode about this, but I thought, you know what, why not just share it with you right now? So the framework is providing a learning objective, providing an anticipatory set, so, you know, intriguing students' interest, which I didn't really provide in this mini lesson, but I will when this has been formalized, this mini lesson has been published, shall I say, for members, but like a hook. And then you teach and model, and then guided practice, and check for understanding. So you're walking around the room, you're asking students to show you their answers using whiteboards or talk to a partner and you listen in on what they say. And then you adjust based on what you saw during the check for understanding portion. And so you adjust and you reteach based on what you noticed and observed of students' work during the guided practice portion of the lesson. And this is very similar, you know, to the workshop model. So I was really, really happy to read that. And then the last step is, of course, independent learning and assessment. But this framework is really, really powerful and is what kids need. It's also just a really simple way for teachers to organize their lessons. Every single one of their lessons should hit each of those components of the framework or the lesson plan. And all of the lessons that I put out in my membership and in my units do this. Now, I don't think Schmoker is a very big fan of conferring, and I will definitely be doing an episode on that. I don't think Schmoker or Wechsler are fans of this. And honestly, the more I read, the more I become less enthusiastic about conferring, because, I mean, isn't that what I'm going on a tangent here, but it is one of the hardest parts about workshop. And maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe we need to flush conferring down the toilet. I don't know. It's kind of controversial. What do you think? I'm going to be doing an episode about it soon. Let's talk about the next mini lesson. The next mini lesson is all about conjunctions. Wechsler recommends teachers use the conjunctions because, but, and so to begin teaching about this concept of independent and dependent clauses. And again, we're not talking about these words yet with students when we're introducing these concepts. A clause is a complete sentence that contains a subject and a predicate. This is related to the fragments and complete sentences concepts I was just talking about, because fragments are missing a subject or a predicate. So here's how this might work in your classroom. You give students a sentence stem that ends in one of the conjunctions, and students have to complete the sentence stem. So here's some examples of what I'm talking about. Oakland is considered one of the most diverse cities because Richard flicked a lighter, but Sasha felt confused about their gender, so, And students have to, or you model completing these and completing, and notice that these sentences have the conjunctions because, but, so, right? And maybe you're right now thinking like, how the heck does this help my students become better writers? You'll see, like, all of these mini lessons build on each other. And so this is just like the very bare bones sentence level lessons. And if you want to know more, I recommend you check out this book called The Writing Revolution, because there's much more detail in the book and more lessons kind of like these. I didn't include all of the concepts that are in the book in this blog post. So if you're interested, go check it out. Okay, so you give them those sentence stems and then you complete them, and then you model, you know, completing the sentence stems, and then you have students practice completing the sentences and adding to them, and they need to be able to understand what they read and maybe even have to go back to the book or the article to complete the sentences. So after lots of modeling and guided practice with completing these sentence stems and using these conjunctions, you can then introduce subordinating conjunctions that connect two ideas together, such as although, before, even though, and while. These words are particularly helpful when writing argumentatively. Wexler again suggests providing students with sentence stems, you model completing the sentence stems, and then having students try it. And so here's one. Although Richard and Sasha lived in different neighborhoods, they, and then you would complete it for students by modeling, and then you would have students complete it. And there can be many different answers, you know, to this sentence. There can be different things you can put at the end of the sentence. And, you know, I think maybe if you're a teacher like me who's very anti-grammar and teaching this way, it really, I think, is powerful for students to begin using these kinds of words in their writing. Although, before, even though, while, because, but, so. Because a lot of students who struggle with writing, they write very simplistically, or they just write on and on and on and on with no punctuation. And so when we really take the time to break down a sentence and talk about what makes a sentence effective in front of students, they're going to start thinking about it when they're writing, right? And you might even practice writing really effective, powerful sentences and analyzing a sentence that's just kind of plain and boring and a sentence that's really beautiful and deep and effective, right? Okay, the next mini lesson is all about appositives. In order for students to write more complex sentences, they need to learn how they can use commas to add additional information to their sentences. One way to teach students how to write complex sentences is by showing students examples of appositives. Appositives are nouns positioned next to another noun that add more detail to a sentence. So here's an example from the 57 bus. Richard, comma, a 16-year-old teen from Oakland, comma, made a huge mistake that impacted the rest of his life. So that a 16-year-old teen from Oakland is the appositive. And there's more examples in the slideshow I provide in this blog post. So they follow the noun being described. When teaching students about appositives, the teacher can give students example sentences containing appositives and show them how the sentence can still be complete without the appositive. So instead of teaching the term appositive, teach students that they can add details to describe the person, place, or thing of the sentence, and they can add those details using commas, right? Once students have been exposed to examples, Wexler recommends providing students with activities. Again, this is the guided practice part, where they have to match nouns with appositives. I have to stop here real quick, because as I was editing this podcast episode, I realized that I was giving away quite a lot about the ending of the 57 bus. And so all you have to do if you don't want to know what happens in the end and you'd rather read it yourself is just skip ahead to the 21 minute mark and you won't have things ruined for you. Sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure that I warned you before you kept listening. So here's another example from the 57 bus. So it says A, B, C. So A, B, and C are the appositives. So A is a 16-year-old sophomore. B is an 18-year-old senior. C is the most diverse city in the nation. And then there's 1, 2, 3. Sasha blank. So Sasha, comma, blank, comma. So they have, the students have to put the appositive in the blank. Attended MIT after graduating. Richard, comma, blank, comma, was tried as an adult and sentenced to 7 years in state prison, but eventually his time was reduced for good behavior. 3, Oakland, comma, blank, a line, a blank, comma, was where both Sasha and Richard grew up. So students have to fill in the blank with the appropriate appositive. The next mini lesson is all about sentence combining. After building a foundational knowledge of fragments, conjunctions, and appositives, next you'll want to teach students how to combine sentences. Wexler describes how this could be done in her book, The Writing Revolution. First, give students simple, short sentences all related to the same topic you've been studying. Then model ways in which these simple sentences can be combined. An example from the 57 bus is provided in that slideshow, but I'll give it to you here too. So here are 3 simple sentences. Oakland is rural. Oakland is urban. Oakland is diverse. So ways you might combine these, there's 3 different ways that I have here for you. Oakland is both rural and urban, comma. It is also a diverse city. Here's another way you can combine them. Oakland is rural, comma, urban, comma, and diverse. Or here's a third way you could combine. Oakland, comma, a diverse city, comma, is both rural and urban. So there's so many ways to construct a sentence, and I really, of all the mini lessons I've talked about so far, I think this one is pretty awesome. But I do realize that the other ones really build onto it, right? So it's important to kind of build up to these kinds of things. And I really think that advanced writers can benefit from this kind of instruction as well. Mini lesson number 5 is all about expanding sentences by answering questions. Wexler calls the very simple sentences such as Richard looked a kernel sentence. These sentences aren't fragments, they're complete sentences. They're just super simple, only containing a subject and predicate. In this mini lesson, you'll provide students with kernel sentences to expand with a chart that includes these questions: who, what, when, where, why, how. Students don't have to answer all the questions to expand a sentence. Wexler and Hockman, I think I'm saying her name wrong. I hope I'm not. I respect these people so much. I love their book. They both suggest having students answer just 2 or 3 of those questions of who, what, when, where, why, how. So just 2 or 3 of those questions can expand a sentence. So the kernel sentence, Richard looked, might become Richard looked at Sasha in the back of the bus, comma, stunned at what he saw. This expanded sentence answers the questions where, who, and how. You'll want to model multiple examples of expanding kernel sentences using these question words before having students try it on their own. And then again, I have this slideshow that you can go grab on my website. If you go to this blog post podcast episode that has examples from the 57 bus to use with your students. All right, so those are the 5 mini lessons. I know they're just like bare bones mini lessons, but I had to get this information out there. And there's so much more in this Writing Revolution book about teaching students to outline, teaching students how to construct a paragraph, teaching students how to summarize. There's lots of great information in here. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that directly teaching these things, explicitly teaching these things, is so vital and important for not only students who struggle, but all students, because we don't know what they've missed from past years in school. And sometimes we assume things about students. We assume they already know these things. And we need to stop assuming that. So what are your next steps? Realize struggling writers need our help and support. And the good news is that these lesson ideas can be extremely beneficial for all students. If you'd like access to a growing resource library of tools for struggling writers, you definitely should sign up for my email list, because I actually provide teachers who sign up for my email list a workshop teacher toolkit. And in that toolkit, I have lots of things for you: charts, writing samples, rubrics, choice boards, and as I said earlier, I'm going to be adding resources for struggling writers. And a lot of my resources are editable. So what are you waiting for? And definitely go check out that grammar and mechanics unit. And if you loved this episode, share it with a colleague, write a review, give it 5 stars. I will love you forever if you do one of those things. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.